This is Audible.
Podium Audio presents Leave Me Behind, a standalone in the Dark Forces series. Written by K.M. Moranova. Performed by Isabel Turner and Walker Williams. This audiobook contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Patagonia. 2 years ago. Bones. Abram's eyes are blurry with dark blood. I try to wipe the red streams from his cheeks with my sleeve, but it flows relentlessly from the gash on the side of his head. His blonde brown hair, that was always so bright, is now burgundy and streaked with the call of death. Dirt and rocks cling to the stickiness of his skin. Panic flashes through me. It's through sheer will that I force the planes of my face to remain smooth and emotionless. Bones! My chest grows heavy with the weakness that draws out his whiny breaths. The way his fingers tremble as he reaches for me. His black gloves are drowned in blood. I bury my teeth into my lower lip to quell the agony that seeps into my throat. I'm here, Abram. I shut my eyes to stave off the despair. He coughs and blood splatters across my mask. I don't blink. Scared. His green eyes are murky yellow with red liquid, waning as death clings to him. I shakily remove my gloves and press my cold palm to his cheek. Shit. We weren't supposed to be here. Not like this. Riot Squad was supposed to meet us at the checkpoint. Where the fuck were they? I duck as bullets pelt into the dry terrain and kick up dust around us. Abram's chest gapes with a hole right next to his heart, the heat of his flesh quickly fleeing him. God damn it. I lift my head and search through the smoke for the rest of our squad. Only three lifeless hostiles lie motionless in the clearing. I killed them mercilessly, cruelly, like I'd been taught to. But they aren't the ones who shot my second. They aren't responsible for his dwindling life. The bullet went straight through his vest and must be a higher grade. My fists clench. Why didn't he stay back like I told him to? God damn it. The rest of my squad is firing back and securing the area, but it will be too late. I've witnessed many men die. I know when there's far too much damage, Abram isn't going to make it. And I find myself incapable of leaving his side. There are protocols I need to follow, and the mission isn't complete yet. But it doesn't seem to matter to me like it once had. Not now that he's going to die. I let my eyes fall closed, and, with trembling hands, take my mask off slowly. A face that no one is supposed to know. I want him to know. I open my eyes and look down at him. Abram's eyes widen, brows pinching weakly together with concern. But you shouldn't. He tries to reach his hand up to cover my face, but he can't even lift his arm now. I catch his falling hand. Bradshaw. His weary eyes are shutting slowly, but a small grin spreads over his chapped lips. My name is Bradshaw. My voice is a mere whisper, but I know he hears it. Abram draws his final breath, and it sounds like a sigh of relief. It doesn't at all sound like the last noise he'll ever make. His eyes are still on me, hazed over now, but seeing straight through me. The light has gone, and vengeance is born into my heart.
1. Nell. I'm being reassigned to a squad of devils. No, not literally, just men that come really fucking close. The entire riot squad was killed 2 years ago during a level red mission in Patagonia. Everyone except me. And what did my survival get me besides a heavy dose of trauma? I've been reassigned to the worst possible squad. Malum. I let a long sigh roll from my lips and check my watch for the 100th time. I tap my foot impatiently as I wait for the row of passengers ahead of me to grab their luggage from the overhead bins so that I can get off the plane and get to my next terminal. Racing through the airport for my connecting flight, I desperately try to convince myself that my new squad's respect can be won with nothing more than blood and sweat. Let's just hope they aren't as ruthless as Riot was when I first joined. By the time I board, the window seat is already taken in my row. I pull out my ticket to double-check my number. That asshole is in my seat. I blow out an irritated breath. It's a 3-seat row, and 2 men flank each end, leaving the middle chair for me. The one in the aisle seat has his hood pulled up, hiding his face from view. The other guy is also dressed in black, with his hood pulled up, but he's staring out the window. He doesn't seem concerned about his surroundings. I stand there, annoyed, but people are already getting impatient behind me, so I settle for the middle seat. God, I hate flying. Everyone is angry and tired and so goddamn rude. The aisle guy doesn't bother moving his legs or lifting his head, so I swallow the curse words building in the back of my throat and try maneuvering around him. I'm already regretting wearing the thin black leggings I threw on this morning as my thighs brush his knees. In hindsight, I should have worn sweatpants. As I'm stepping around his feet, my back foot gets caught between his and I fall forward. My backpack falls into the window seat guy's lap and aisle seat guy half catches me with a strong hand that splays over the center of my stomach. The other is wrapped around my inner thigh. Instinctively, I snap out of his hold and shoot him a death glare. It's short-lived, because now that he's looking up at me, I can see his lovely face. There is a frosty edge that radiates from his pale blue eyes. The set of his sharp jaw and blank expression don't add any warmth to his demeanor. A thin 1-inch scar resides beneath his left eye, making him appear tired. Another crosses the bridge of his nose, and 2 small scars rib his lower lip on the right side, almost appearing like piercings. The hollows of his cheeks are lined with muscle that defines the bone structure. He's easily the most beautiful man I've ever laid eyes on. My senses return to me as I remember that civilians won't take kindly to my trained responses of profiling. I take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Thanks, I say as casually as I can before sitting in the center seat. He doesn't respond and leans his head back against his chair. I glance at him and see sound-canceling headphones peeking out from beneath his hood. I don't think twice about the small encounter. I just want to get this final flight over with so I can sleep before the nightmare begins tomorrow. The window seat guy gives me a brief smile and hands me my bag. Sorry about that, I mutter, not bothering to look any higher than his lips. I pull out my own sound-blocking headphones and shove my backpack under the seat before getting comfortable. Well, as comfortable as one can get on an airplane. I loathe flying. Always have and always will. Anxiety used to pulse through my veins when I'd get on a plane, but I've been trained rotten out of the fear of it. It's a 6-hour flight to California. At some point, I fall asleep and am startled awake by turbulence. Alertness instantly snaps me into focus before I recall that I'm not on a chopper. Any rivets in the air set me off. I've grown used to sleeping light. I snap my head up and look around urgently, pulling my headphones down around my neck as I blink away the drowsiness from my nap. I find that everyone is either silently reading, watching a movie, or sleeping. Relieved, I look at the window seat passenger next to me. He's staring at me with a curious expression, My eyes widen as I take him in. It's dimly lit in here, but even if it was completely dark, I'd still be able to tell that he's handsome and... Wait. I could swear he was sitting in the aisle seat before I fell asleep. Black hair peeks out from under the rim of his charcoal gray beanie, matching his dark brows. His eyes are a darker, softer blue than they were earlier. But there's no scar under his left eye, across his nose, or on his bottom lip. "I'm sorry, weren't you sitting in the aisle seat earlier?" I ask him hesitantly. He doesn't look like the nicest guy, so I'm surprised when he drops the analytical stare and gives me a small smirk.
"Nope, that's my twin," he says smoothly.
His voice is husky and pleasant, not too high, not too low, but perfectly in the middle. I'm struck by his charm. It takes me a moment to collect my thoughts. "Oh." My brows knit, and he seems amused by that. "Twins?" His eyes flick down to my lips and then back to my gaze. Is he a model? He certainly could be one. I'm eager to ask him questions that I normally wouldn't. There's something inviting about his wry smirk that taunts me. It reminds me of Sergeant Jenkins. I quickly push the thought down. Thinking of Jenkins only brings a deep ache to my heart.
"Yeah, he doesn't talk much, unlike me."
He winks.
"But that turbulence spooked you, huh? You were passed out cold with your head on my shoulder."
He chuckles, and my heavy soul lifts a bit. "Hold on. I did what?" Heat races to my cheeks, and I lean as far away from him as I can in my seat, feeling entirely too close and embarrassed. But there's no escape. Our thighs are literally touching. I'm mortified. "I'm so sorry." He chuckles lightly and shrugs.
"It's fine. I just wasn't expecting it. You must be tired from traveling. What's your final destination?"
My heart flutters with that boyish grin he shoots me. His lashes are long and thick, making those ocean eyes all the more irresistible. He looks to be in his late 20s. "I don't think you can say final destination on a plane." I return the charm with the movie reference and let a small laugh slip. "Coronado, Cali, you?" He shifts in his seat to face me more as he grins devilishly at my comment.
"Same, actually. I travel a lot for work, so I'm used to long flights."
I nod, thinking better of mentioning that I am too. He takes my pause as me not wanting to respond, so he mutters,
"Aaron."
"Huh?" I glance back up at him, and he smiles softly again.
"My name is Aaron."
"Oh, it's nice to meet you, Aaron. I'm Nellie." I use my nickname instead of my formal name. I offer him my hand awkwardly. Do people still shake hands? I'm used to saluting. Everything feels surreal out here on the civilian side. It's not like I've had time to familiarize myself with society. I showed my true colors to the world when I was orphaned at 15. That's when the underground military faction first laid their hands on me. It's been 10 years since then. That's how you come to be in the company of elite killing machines. The dark forces take people like me who did something unspeakable and put us to use rather than throwing us in prison. We don't exist, not on paper. We've been long forgotten by the people we used to know. I am only a weapon, a rabid dog running from an inevitable death shot. It's perhaps the government's darkest secret, the underside of the special forces that does all the dirty work they don't want to sully their hands with. Anti-terrorism, foreign combat, black market weapons raids. We get sent to stop it all, and we don't get a lick of credit. Basically, when it's all summed up, we're suicide squads, The generals only want to make sure we get the missions done. They don't give a shit about us. Aaron takes my hand and gives it a light shake.
The feeling is mutual, he says.
He leans his head against the chair and stares at me. His eyes are so unrelenting, piercing me and daring me to look away. I'm the type of person who can't hold eye contact for more than a few seconds. But with him, I don't feel the urge to pull away. He's searching my eyes for something, studying me closely.
Nice neck tattoos,
he says with a smile. My hand goes to my neck. Thanks. They hurt like a bitch when I got them.
I bet, but they look great. Got someone waiting for you in California?
He asks boldly. I shake my head. I'm sure he can see the flush across my cheeks. Nope. Just work. No one special there. Or anywhere. Aaron lifts a brow and tilts his head.
You're too pretty to be without a special someone.
The kid sitting behind us kicks my seat and I blink like an idiot at his words.
He thinks I'm pretty?
Being in the military, the only comments I get from men are, nice ass, you're fuckable, love the long dark hair to grab onto, and you have dick-sucking lips. But then there was Jenkins. And although he never once told me I was beautiful, he certainly made sure I knew it with his stolen glances and heady kisses. But when I think of Sergeant Jenkins, I only remember the blood he was drenched in that final night. After seeing him the way I did in Patagonia, it's difficult to recall his beautiful blonde hair and the rare smile he spared for only me. I blink away the flames that lick at my memories. How about you? I ask. I'm sure Aaron has a family or at least a wife. My eyes flick to his hand as I think it. No ring.
Nah, I don't do relationships.
That piques my interest. Is he military? He must notice my curious stare and cracks a smile.
I'm in the army,
he admits. I can tell he doesn't want to speak on it too much, so I don't pry. I don't mention that I'm a trained killer as well. I'm supposed to be discreet with the squad I'm joining, so I keep it out of the conversation. But the thought of it reminds me of the hell I'm heading toward. Malum Squad. The Dark Forces team they send when they can't send any of the other suicide squads. Malum, who fucked riot when they didn't show up to the checkpoint before shit hit the fan in Patagonia. Thank you for your service, sir, I say slyly. His eyes widen with a flicker of interest that pulls at his lips. He wouldn't be anyone I'd run into at the base, right? I highly doubt it. Normally, I wouldn't flirt with fellow servicemen because it always ends badly. But the guys I normally work with aren't model worthy. They are depraved and murderous. Like me. I think he's in the clear. Besides, there's no way he could be in the Dark Forces. He doesn't have the hardness about him. Aaron laughs at that and shakes his head.
I'm just some low-end officer. Oh, hey, Bradshaw's awake,
he mutters, looking past me. I follow suit and glance at the man on my other side. The other thigh that presses against mine. I met with those icy blue eyes again and that intimidating scar under his left one. The discoloration is just shy of his lower eyelid, but he doesn't appear to be impaired by it at all. He's lucky to have evaded a blade that close. Jenkins wasn't so lucky. I shudder at the memory of the blood that spilled from his chest. My fists close over my thighs and I try to blink away the last images of him in my head. I should remember him as the soldier he was, not how he looked when I left him on the battlefield. He told me to leave him there, and I did. I followed his final orders. I'm haunted by that the most. The realization dawning over his eyes that I was leaving him there just as he commanded. He gritted his teeth in acceptance and smiled. The ache will never cease. It only grows. I force my fingers to unfurl. Bradshaw looks at me calmly with his cold demeanor still intact. The uninterest that radiates from this guy is unreal. They are twins, no doubt, but now that I see them both up close, their eyes are different shades of blue and their personalities couldn't be more opposite. Like fire and ice. Nellie, I offer my hand to shake his like I did with Aaron, but Bradshaw just levels me with the same callous look. He doesn't even seem tempted to shake it. Jesus, what's with this guy? Aaron nudges his shoulder against mine.
He's an asshole to everyone. Don't take it personally.
Bradshaw doesn't reply or even seem offended. He simply pulls his headphones back over his ears and closes his eyes. His lashes are long and grace his pale skin. I stare a moment longer than I should, admiring his ethereal features before returning my attention to Aaron. He grins.
You want to join us for a few drinks tonight, or do you have somewhere to be?
He's inviting me out? A flutter skates across my chest. There's really only one person I'm worried about running into before tomorrow. They call him Bones. He's rumored to be the cruelest man in the Dark Forces. Apparently, he likes breaking open rib cages and literally pulling people's hearts out. Sometimes they're bones. Hence the disturbing code name he bears. Unfortunately, he's my partner on Malum, and I'm not sure how I'll survive. But Aaron isn't him, I'm sure of it. And if I'm going to be miserable for the next month, why not have a bit of fun? I return his smile. Sure. I just can't stay out too late. Early commitments tomorrow, I say as casually as I can. My veins fill with adrenaline at the thought of going out on one last free night. Hopefully getting Aaron on board for a one-night stand. His grin is murder.
I wouldn't dream of keeping something as sweet as you out too late.
The bar turns out to be a full-blown nightclub. Not the gross ones in small towns, but the kind that has bouncers up front checking reservations and lists. I pay the Uber driver and stare at the building. The music is bumping so loud it's even hard to hear the conversations outside. Should I just go back to the hotel? I consider it, but Aaron is waiting for me and shouts my name. The leggings and soft, body-tight t-shirt I wore on the plane seem appropriate for a bar setting, but now I feel like I stand out amongst the younger women who wear belly shirts and short shorts. Not that I have anything to wear like that anyway. I packed light. I don't own more than 3 outfits for street clothes. Traveling here is the first time I've been off base in months. The Dark Forces aren't exactly free individuals. We're halfway between criminals and military hounds. Aaron meets me on the edge of the sidewalk.
There she is. I thought you'd totally bounce if I wasn't up here to catch you.
He winks, and all I can do is smile awkwardly. It did cross my mind. He chuckles and leads me straight to the doors. I glance over at the line of angry people waiting to get in, their impatience and rage palpable. I hate when people cut, too. The bouncer gives me a gruff look, but Aaron nods at him and he lets me slide through without any trouble. I didn't pin Aaron as someone who frequents the club based on his appearance.
Ever been here before?
He asks smoothly, laying his arm around my shoulders. A chill spreads up my spine and my heart beats faster. I shake my head and he smirks.
Get ready to have one hell of a night.
We enter the club's main floor. It's dark here and difficult to make out other people's faces. Blue and purple lights flash with the music bumping through the room and thrum excitement through my veins. Vapor curls in the air as the lights cut through shadows and the distinct scent of alcohol rolls over me. I haven't been to a place like this since I was 22, but this is way, way fancier. Aaron smiles down at me, clearly pleased with himself at my awe. He says loudly, "I'll get us drinks." "Get me an unopened can," I shout over the music. A wicked look spreads over his face. "Smart girl." He winks and disappears into the crowd swarming around the bar. I laugh and shake my head, wondering how tonight will pan out. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have a one-nighter to ease me into the dread that's coming tomorrow. Aaron seems like the kind of guy that is good at flings. In our profession, that's not a bad trait to have. Our lives are fleeting at best, and we're always on the move. But in my case, I'm underground. I couldn't have a relationship even if I wanted one. It looks like Aaron might be there a while. I narrow my eyes as I watch him try to get the bartender's attention, but there are so many people shouting and waving their cards around that I have little faith he'll be back soon. My gaze sweeps over the sea of people bumping and grinding to the music on the dance floor. It's in the center of the club, with seating lining the outer rim for people to take breaks and drink. Each beat booms so loud it reverberates in my bones. I smile to myself and push my way into the warmth of drunken, sweaty bodies, where I'm sure no one will see me having the time of my life. It's an entirely different feeling to be in a place where no one knows you, no one to judge you for letting loose. I've been dancing for over 10 minutes with casual movements when a club remix version of "Hey Mama" by David Guetta cues up and everyone lets out excited shrills. The sensation is exhilarating, and my heart pounds lightly in my chest. I let my body follow their excitement and move with the bass, shaking my hips to the rhythm of the song. My eyelids are heavy, chin tilted up, and I happen to look at the far wall of the club. Up against it is Bradshaw. His arms are crossed tightly, and he's wearing all black, hood still pulled up. A flash of purple light beams down on him for a moment, lighting up those cold eyes and revealing that they are focused solely on me, as if he's been watching me swing my hips this entire time. I didn't get a good look at his neck tattoos earlier, but with the light hitting him, it's impossible not to notice the ink that follows and hardens his perfect jawline. There's something in the way he stares at me, like a starved man who's contemplating a heinous act. You don't have to tell me there isn't one good thought in his head. Red flags are flying all around this guy. But I can't look away. He captivates me. Scares me, even. And I can kill a man in 5 seconds flat. My veins chill under his scrutiny, but I don't stop dancing. I hold his intense gaze for a few seconds to let him know I will not be intimidated by him, before forcing myself to casually glance the other way as if I don't find him mesmerizing. How did I forget about the psycho twin? I chide myself and roll my eyes. I refuse to let him know I'm affected by the way he watches me so carefully. My mom always said I was into bad guys. I doubt she knew I'd grow up to be into ones who clearly had psychological problems. The ones you don't tell God about when you pray at church to forgive your sins. The ones with dark backstories and baggage. Curious, and maybe a bit teasing, I lift my lashes slowly back to him and find him still staring at me steadily. Hate rolls through me at his brashness. He doesn't care that I'm looking straight back at him. He doesn't look the least bit unnerved as I continue to dance, unfazed by him, rolling my hips and putting my hands up over my head like everyone else. But I notice his fingers tightening around his arm and his lower lip flattening under his teeth. Oh, his walls aren't so impenetrable after all. As I continue dancing, someone comes up behind me, drawing their fingertips softly over my hips in a silent query. I smile, answering by leaning back into them and pushing my ass against a hard boner. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been in a club like this, where the air is thick with lust and alcohol, where strangers will touch your body with the hope that you'll let them. My new dance partner instantly responds by moving in rhythm to my hips. He buries his fingertips into my waist as we sway. His breath becomes heavier with each beat of music. I forget myself for a moment, letting my back fall against hard muscle and enjoying the sweep of cologne that fills my nose. I glance back over to where Bradshaw is, but he's gone. The boner grinding into my ass has me not too concerned, but I don't have to wonder where he went for long.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
the man behind me shouts furiously. His body parts from mine quickly, and the cold air instantly makes me sour. The music is loud, pulsating my heart for me at this point. I turn and find Bradshaw shoving the guy I was dancing with to the side. He looks like he wants to push Bradshaw back, but he takes one look at that intimidating build and settles with cursing and walking back through the crowd. I scowl and shout, "What's your problem?" Bradshaw snaps his attention back to me with the same coldness, but there's a tinge of interest there now.
"You're here with us."
He speaks for the first time, and for a second, everything else is silent. His voice is loud in my head, even though he didn't shout. I want to hear it again. I swallow and decide to just drop it, unsure of what exactly his intentions are. The next song comes booming in, a remixed version of Summertime Sadness by Lana Del Rey. As I resume dancing, I keep my eyes locked with Bradshaw's. His icy gaze flickers with the flashing lights. His nostrils flare and his jaw flexes. I turn to avoid his heavy stare, letting my body find the rhythm again. God, I hope Aaron hurries with those drinks. Calloused hands slide over my hips. I don't need to turn around to know they belong to Bradshaw. They're hard and demanding. As stiff as he appears, yet more sensual than any I've ever known. Maybe it's the malice behind them, the intensity of his grip. Heat floods through my entire body as he sinks his fingers into my flesh. My traitorous body instinctively melts into the hardened planes of his chest. I'm pleasantly surprised with the muscles I feel beneath his hoodie. Is he in the military, like his brother? I grind my ass into him and grin when I find him hard. He keeps one hand on my moving hips while dipping a finger beneath my shirt, brushing the skin of my stomach as if asking permission. My smile is starting to hurt from this exchange. I slide my hand down to his and push it up a bit more so he knows I'm good with him exploring. Bradshaw chuckles darkly, almost not loud enough for me to hear. It's a sound so voracious that I have to squeeze my thighs together to keep the urgent sensation in check. Holy shit. Who is this guy? 2. Nell. I lose myself in these short moments with him, dancing like our bodies have known each other for years. His scent rolls over me, and I breathe it in. He smells like a crisp forest. In the morning, before the mist settles, his mouth comes to my shoulder, and I bite my lip against the thoughts that thrum through my head. Fuck him. It's your last night for God knows how long. At the start of the next song, Aaron reappears with two drinks in hand. He grins mischievously at the both of us. I'm surprised he looks entertained with us dancing together, rather than jealous. I stop dancing, and embarrassment spreads across my cheeks. Aaron hands me the canned spritzer, unopened, as promised, and takes a long sip from his can before shouting,
"You've got Bradshaw out here dancing with you? Damn, what did you do, grab his dick or something?"
Bradshaw doesn't laugh. Neither do I. Aaron laughs at his own joke on our behalf. "You're okay with us dancing together? I was kind of..." Aaron cuts me off.
"All cards on the table. I was hoping you two would hook up tonight."
He shoots me a sly grin. Why does that make me feel used? I was supposed to be the one using him. His brows pull together as he sees worry clouding my eyes.
"He has a hard time with women. You know, because he's an asshole. I thought you two might get along."
He says it so innocently, I can't possibly be irked. Not when they share the same lovely face. Why should I care what lies beneath that?
"No shit. He should try not being such a creep," I shoot back.
Bradshaw's fingers dig into my hips with the comment. I look up over my shoulder at him. He flicks his eyes down to mine briefly. His intentions are unreadable, before looking back at his brother. I was after Aaron initially, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't more interested in Bradshaw. He has secrets and demons hiding behind that soulless expression he wears. Something damaged and broken being kept from view. A sigh leaves my lips as I crack my spritzer open and gulp it down. Bradshaw moves to stand beside his brother as they exchange a few words. I can't make out what they're saying over the booming music, though. Then they look with bewilderment at the empty can I'm crushing between my hands. "What? Expected me to sip on it?" I refuse to feel embarrassed about my drinking skills. Aaron laughs, then slaps his hand on Bradshaw's back.
"You two go ahead and get out of here. I'm sure I won't be far behind."
He winks at us. My blood pounds loudly in my ears as I make eye contact with Bradshaw.
"Get out of here?" I ask no one in particular.
The one-night stand I wanted is looking promising, but with the psycho brother instead of the guy I thought it would be with. Bradshaw gives his brother a nod, and Aaron presses a kiss to my forehead before waving us off. Wait. Bradshaw guides me to the club entrance, where the music isn't as loud, before I start to slow. He looks down at me in question. The cold edge has eased from his eyes, and I wonder if it's because we both know where tonight is headed.
"Let's go to my hotel," I say boldly.
I'm also going to make him check in with the front desk person with me before we head up. Can never be too careful. I've watched enough true crime to make any sane person paranoid, even if I'm trained to kill a man in more ways than anyone has the right to know. Bradshaw is one of the rare ones that has me on edge. He smiles for the first time, and it's a sight to behold. Somehow, it makes him more mysterious, too.
"Sure,"
Bradshaw says, and flashes me that lazy grin again. Holy shit. He's the kind of guy I would take a 3-day vacation for just to fuck for 72 hours straight. My cheeks warm as he takes my hand and guides us out of the club. He leads me into the dark parking lot before mounting a crotch rocket. I force the smile that wants to bloom over my lips to remain small. He's certainly full of surprises. Bradshaw hands me his helmet, and I raise a brow at him.
"You wear it,"
he says sharply, almost annoyed that I'd even be concerned about him not having one. Asshole. I shove the helmet over my head and sit behind him, wrapping my arms around his wide torso and locking my hands together. It's not my first time on a motorcycle, but I get that same flutter in my chest with Bradshaw driving. He takes off at a wicked speed, maybe trying to scare me, but I just smile and let my head lie flat against his back. The knowledge that this might very well be my last indulgence in pleasure sends a pulse of dread through me. But I'll make it fucking memorable. I haven't felt excited like this since Sergeant Jenkins cornered me against a shower stall when I was first transferred to Riot. We check in with the hotel clerk and head up to my room without any chit-chat. His lack of conversation makes the hair on the back of my neck rise. I'm keenly aware of the heat from his gaze as I slide the key card to my room. I set my wallet down on the entry table, having fleeting thoughts of how stupid this might be. Admittedly, I've never fucked a stranger, but his hands smooth over my stomach, casting away any doubt I had as he pulls me back against his broad chest. My eyes widen. He's already taken his hoodie off, and only his thin t-shirt hides those abs. He dips his head beside mine and presses his lips delicately to my collarbone. His breath is warm against my skin. He spins me to face his chest and lowers his head to mine for a kiss. I open my mouth to say something rather than going straight into it, but he lets out a sigh and gives me a pointed look. This close, his scars are clear, more defined and red. Fresh, maybe a year old, two max.
I'm not here to get to know you.
His voice is stern, detached. Oh, sorry, I just don't do this often, so... I trail off and look down. Heat spikes through my veins with embarrassment. He's absolutely brutal. Bradshaw tilts his head and guides my chin up with his hand, staring into my eyes coldly, like I'm a meal he wants to devour and be done with. My eyes trail to his ears, where he has two black cuff earrings at the center of each.
I'll lead,
he says placidly, and brings his lips to mine. In contrast to his personality, his lips are the softest I've ever kissed. His crisp, forest scent falls over me, and I'm instantly sucked into this moment with him. It's not a romantic kiss people dream about. It's fervent and starved. Bradshaw guides me to the bed and dips me down to the sheets. He deepens his ruthless pursuit, and our tongues meet aggressively. His teeth aren't far behind. I moan as he bites into the fat of my lower lip. He breaks our connection and leans up, pulling his shirt off and tossing it to the floor. I watch him through hooded eyes and admire the sharpness of his body. There are many scars that caress each divot, making me certain that he's in the army too. The long grooves were from K-bar knives, I assume by the severity of the scars. Bullet holes have left starbursts on his skin. I want to ask him about them. I want to hear his stories. But he clearly doesn't want to talk, and it's probably for the best. I'm going to be leaving tomorrow anyway. So I admire him in silence and let his movements take my thoughts away. Bradshaw's eyes find mine as he slowly removes his pants. I lower my hands to my waistband, but he stops me.
I like to do it,
he confesses with a dark grin. I swallow, trying to remain calm when my body is anything but. The throb of need in my core is enough to have me squirming, but I like the slow pace he's setting. He likes to be in control, and clearly something depraved in me finds that erotic. He frees his cock and tosses a condom on the sheets for when we're ready. My eyes linger on his sheer girth. I expected nothing less, honestly. The assholes are always hung for some reason. Bradshaw turns his attention to me now, lifting my shirt slowly and pressing kisses up my stomach to my chest. He unhooks my bra and pulls it over my head along with my shirt. He easily slides my leggings and underwear off after. My nipples pebble against the chill in the air. He lowers his lips to one while palming the other gently. I writhe beneath him as he flicks my tit and mercilessly swirls his tongue around. He rubs his shaft through my wet slit, coaxing and teasing my core until my nails are digging into the soft flesh of his back. A low grumble vibrates in his chest as he lowers his hand and uses two fingers to circle my clit. My back arches and he pulls me closer against his chest, breathing heavily and dotting my neck with kisses. He gently pumps his hips, rubbing his dick against my stomach and wetting my skin with pre-cum. Oh my God. He reaches behind me and grabs the condom, puts it between his pearly teeth, and slowly tears it open, staring down into my eyes unfazed. And just like that, he made condoms sexy. Bradshaw sheathes it over his twitching cock and grins at me as he reaches down and pushes two fingers inside me. I moan at the intrusion as he rubs my inner walls, fingering my G-spot and smiling as I beg him not to stop. He pulls his fingers out before my orgasm can build further and shows me the evidence of my arousal.
"You see how wet you are for a stranger? What a good girl. Are you going to scream for me too? I'd like it if you did," he whispers. But his voice isn't soothing. It's sexy and scary. Dominant. Who the fuck is this man? I find myself wondering again.
He lines his tip to my entrance and starts teasing me, only pushing the head in before pulling it out. I can feel myself stretching for him, each thrust going deeper and penetrating small pieces of me at a time. I whimper, and the sound draws his attention back to my lips. He brings himself over me and whispers against my lips,
"I like it hard."
His brows are pinched with concentration, and his thrusts are so painfully slow that my hips move of their own volition, trying to get him to burrow deeper inside of me. My core throbs at his words, and I nod, drunk with lust. I feel his grin over my lips and let out a gasp as he rolls me onto my side. He remains on his knees and settles between my thighs. He pulls my right leg up vertically with his chest. Good thing I'm flexible, or this would have been painful. His cruel smile tells me he's having the same thought.
"Fuck, your body is perfect."
He wraps his hand around my upper thigh and presses the other around my waist. Then he thrusts into me ruthlessly. My cry is instant, and I have to smother it by pressing my hand to my lips. The moans are just as loud, though. Bradshaw only lets out low grunts as he fucks me harder than I've ever been before. His muscles are flexed and working so effortlessly. He's a god in human skin. Those merciless eyes stare down at me shamelessly, enjoying the twist of my expression between pleasure and pain. He stops for a second and flips me on my stomach, then resituates himself back inside me before he drags his hand down the length of my arm and cinches his fingers around my wrist. I moan as he wriggles his hips and his dick stirs up my pussy. He fills me to the brim, to the deepest parts of my abdomen, and it feels so fucking good. So good that I hardly notice when he pulls my wrist over my head and pins it to the sheets and wraps his other hand around my neck. I gasp, temporarily startled because he's completely dominating me. But he jerks his hips into me and my breath swiftly turns into a cry of pleasure. He grinds further inside me until we're flush and his pumps slow, pulling all the way out before pushing to the hilt once more with enough force to make me scream each time, over and over until my eyes are lolling. He has me gasping and crying out like this is the first time I've been fucked. Oh my God, I cry as my hips tremble, coming all over his cock. He doesn't let up. My next orgasm is already building back up. I'm not sure how much more I can handle. Bradshaw drags his hand up my throat and my mouth, forcing two fingers between my lips and breathing against my ear.
What God? Tonight you only scream and cry for me. No God will bear witness to what I make of you.
My eyes flutter shut at his words and I suck on his fingers. He chuckles and ruts into me harder. I cry out again, fisting the sheets and biting down on his fingers. He groans and slides his hand out of my mouth and down my jaw to angle my head back so he can kiss me. He shoves his tongue down inside my mouth and consumes me. Our hot breaths mingle as we devour each other. His thrusts are getting faster and his breath more uneven. My entire body thrums with the release that shoots through my flesh like fire. I cling to the sheets as he comes a few seconds after me, pressing his hips into mine harder and wrapping his arms around my chest as his engorged cock throbs inside me. He's all the way against my cervix and pulsing with each jerk he makes. I've never been so full and satiated. His teeth clench together and he grunts a couple more times before his body goes lax on top of mine. Our breaths settle and he rolls us so we're on our sides. He holds me close against his chest, cock still planted deep inside me. I'd be surprised if the condom didn't break during that savage fucking. I don't usually do tender embraces. Only Jenkins was allowed to hold me. But since I'm giving myself this one last night of pleasure, I shut my eyes and enjoy it for what it is. Bradshaw lets his thumb graze my side a few times in long, languid strokes before pressing a kiss to my shoulder. He slides his cock out slowly, and I'm left empty. I want to talk with him and get to know him even if it's just a little. But one look at his cold features has me holding my tongue. He has that detached air about him again, like a flip of a switch. We did what we came here to do. It's written on his face. Right. I get my brain on the same level. I offer him a genuine smile as I stand to pass him on my way to the bathroom. You were a good fuck. You can see yourself out, I say with as much resolve as I can. I'd rather be the one to be cold about parting ways than him. Miraculously, I stop myself from looking back at him one last time. I'll never forget those cold eyes and his heart-stopping face. The scars that hold a million questions and stories that I'll never know. I shut the bathroom door behind me and turn on the shower, sliding in after I see steam rolling through the air. It was a nice night. Tomorrow, I will be a killer again. I'll shed the sheep's clothing and be myself. Today was fun, though, I think, as I lather my skin with soap. No matter how undeserving I deem myself of self-indulgence and things that bring me joy, I'd like to think my dead squad mates would encourage me to have a final courtesy before I'm thrown back into the blood and mud. The door creaks as I'm lathering my hair with shampoo. I rinse my face and wipe my eyes before opening them. A flutter spreads through my stomach, and a small gasp escapes my lips. Bradshaw is in the shower with me, watching me with unreadable eyes. "Why are you still here?" I ask, not sounding as cruel as I was going for. The corner of his lip kicks up and he sets a hand on the wall behind me.
"No one's kicked me out before, and I didn't like it."
I huff out a breath and roll my eyes. His grin only grows. "I have to get up early, so..." He bursts out laughing and it shocks me. I legit did not think this man could laugh. I squeeze my hands at my sides at the warmth that spreads through my heart just at the sound of his raspy laugh. Perhaps because, although he's a stranger, I can tell it is rare. His laughter is unused.
"There it is again. It doesn't feel good."
I shift to turn away, but he catches my chin and brings his lips in for a crushing kiss. When he pulls away, his eyes are filled with curiosity and he studies my face intently. "I thought you weren't here to get to know me," I say harshly. He dips down and runs his tongue from the center of my throat up to my lips and kisses me a few times before murmuring,
"Ask me something."
A new heat throbs between my thighs. I let him guide me to the wall as he strokes his tongue over my collarbone, tasting my wet flesh and feeling every inch of my body with his hands. I suppress a moan and say, "I was actually kind of hungry and was going to wash up before going to that diner we passed down the block." Bradshaw pulls back and assesses me, narrowing his eyes like he can't quite figure me out. But he smiles.
"Damn. Rejected again," he mumbles and raises a brow. "Want company?"
I break. "Sure." 3. Nell. Bradshaw fits in with the whole late night at a 24-hour diner vibe. His black attire is gloomy, and his hood is securely back over his head where it belongs. I thank the waitress as she brings me a cup of coffee and an eggs benedict. Bradshaw ordered a cup of orange juice and a breakfast burrito. It's now 1 in the morning. So much for going to bed early. But I don't mind being tired tomorrow. This is a much, much better night than I could have hoped for. I haven't felt anything like this in 2 years, and the longing to care for someone again is an ache I'm not ready to settle yet. I'll bask in his presence for as long as I can. We haven't said a word to each other since arriving. He just keeps staring at me like he's trying to figure me out. At least he's not full-on glaring anymore. I drop 2 sugar cubes into my mug and 3 packages of the small fake milk cups they leave on each table in a white bowl. Bradshaw takes a bite of his burrito and shuts his eyes. "That good?" I tease, cutting into my eggs and eager to follow him into the food bliss. He nods.
"Best 1 a.m. burrito I've ever had."
I laugh. "How many have you had?" He shrugs.
"I guess this is the first."
"You've never gone out for late night food?" He shakes his head, the empty expression slowly returning to his eyes.
"I was never allowed to leave the house at night growing up, and I joined the military young."
He keeps it brief. My throat bobs. I knew it. Avoid the topic of work. "Why? Were your parents super strict with you and Aaron?" I ask before shoving food in my mouth. I shut my eyes as the hollandaise takes over my taste buds. "So good." He looks up at me and smirks.
"We were orphaned early on. The foster folks let Aaron do whatever he wanted, They only kept me locked away because they thought I was going to hurt people if I had the chance.
My fork stills on my plate. Would you have? Bradshaw studies me inquisitively before ultimately saying,
Maybe. I was always sort of an off kid.
Me too, I want to admit, but the words die on my tongue.
That's odd,
he says, a darkness blooming over those icy eyes. What?
This is the part where you're supposed to be afraid of me.
I take a sip of my coffee before looking over the empty diner. My eyes move back to his. You don't scare me. He does, though. Just a little. A sinister expression takes over his handsome face and sends chills up my spine.
Is that so?
He lifts his drink and takes a few swigs. His Adam's apple bobs a few times, and I hate how intently I watch it. He sets the cup back down and licks his lips.
What is a girl like you afraid of, then?
I try thinking of what scares me. I was afraid of losing Jenkins and my squad, but that already happened. The ocean? My smile is mischievous. He grins sarcastically.
Are you serious?
I laugh. Of course. Tons of people are scared of the ocean. It's fucking huge and it's so easy to lose control of things out there in the vast waters. I shudder just talking about it. Bradshaw leans forward with his elbows on the table, his chin resting on his palm. Strands of his black hair are splayed over his forehead and make him all the more lovely. He blinks at me like my words are interesting, and contentment tugs at his smile. What are you looking at? I ask, annoyed.
At the woman who fears the ocean, but not me, he taunts.
My eyes narrow. Well, what is a guy like you afraid of? I playfully nudge his shoe with mine. I could be in a throwback movie right now, flirting with the man of my dreams. I muse about that as I watch him hesitate to answer. Well?
Nothing scares me.
That's bullshit. My nudging foot turns into a kicking one. He shoots me a glare before breaking and shaking his head with another one of his soothing laughs.
Okay, fine. I guess if I had to name one thing, it'd be outliving my twin.
I nod. He's the only person that matters to you? His eyes flicker.
He's the only one left.
So there were others, but they aren't around anymore. I lean back and cross my arms. I'm no stranger to loss. I'm sorry to hear that. Bradshaw lifts a shoulder.
That's life.
He pauses before changing the topic.
So, what's a person like you doing here in Coronado?
He signals the waitress that we're done with our meals. Just trying new locations, seeing what suits me, I lie. The waitress trots over with the check, and my cheeks warm when he hands her cash before I can object. Thanks, I say as the waitress walks away. He holds out his hand for mine expectantly. I slip my fingers over his.
It's been a long time since I've met someone I enjoy talking to other than Aaron.
He brushes his thumb over the tips of my fingers before releasing my hand and nodding toward the exit. Same. But obviously without Aaron, I mutter. Bradshaw makes a face and shakes his head with a smirk.
See, you just say weird things.
So do you.
Maybe that's why I don't mind you.
I wait for him to walk ahead before smiling to myself. He sounded like Jenkins by saying that. I don't mind you. Those were the first hard-earned kind words I'd won from my sergeant. Ones I never thought I'd hear from lips as cold as his were. That's how I know Bradshaw, deep down, is a kind person, too. We walk around the corner, heading back to the hotel. I think to tell him he doesn't need to walk me back, but I doubt he'd listen. So, Bradshaw, what kind of guy are you really? I bump his shoulder with mine. The muscles in his neck feather, but he steadily walks.
I'm a devil.
A devil? I echo incredulously. If he knew what I was capable of, he'd think I was a devil too.
Yeah, I've done things no one could fathom. Things I hate myself for.
Okay, ominous much?
How about you? What kind of person are you?
I think about that. I've killed many targets. Assigned and backed with paper. People I'd never met or knew why I was doing it. I have no clue how many children or brothers or sisters they had. I just followed orders, blindly and with little care. Jenkins always called me his little reaper. I'm a reaper, I say thoughtlessly. He stops outside the hotel entrance and looks down at me, eyebrows raised.
A reaper, huh? That's a weird thing for a beautiful young woman to say.
His eyes narrow. If only he knew. But my life is a sinful secret. My actions nothing but a whisper in the wind. It still wears on me, though. Each kill slowly draining my soul more than the last.
What do you do for work?
He asks as he brushes his thumb over my cheek. I take a short breath and shake my head. I'm in between jobs. I am technically between squads at the moment. His brows knit in thought, but he pulls me into a hug, running his fingers down my back. I still, as his fingers stop midway, close to my spine, over the bullet-sized scar that I know is piquing his interest.
What did you do before?
He pushes. I can hear the gears in his head starting to turn. My brain short-circuits. I worked at a library. He pushes me an arm's length away and gives me a distrustful look.
Why are you lying?
My lungs cease. I'm not. The coldness returns to his eyes, the hard set back to his jaw. I reciprocate the callousness. Why does it matter? What do you do? He doesn't respond. That's what I thought, hypocrite. I attempt to walk around him and head inside to the lobby, but Bradshaw steps between me and the doors.
Are you not saying what you do for work, for the same reason I'm not?
His voice has a new edge to it, like a blade pointed right at me. I look up at him and meet those scrutinizing eyes. His divine beauty should be illegal. What are you talking about? I say as casually as I can. He studies me with disdain burning in his eyes before nudging me to the brick side of the building. There he leans over me, arms pressed to either side of the wall at my back. I freeze. I can't breathe. I can't speak. His words are careful.
You aren't Penelope Gallows, are you?
Every hair on the back of my neck raises, and he sees the shock roll through my expression. How did he know my real name? Unless... No. You're not in the underground...